invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You might have read it last night, Matthew chapter 5, or yesterday morning. Verses 14 to 16, pretty familiar passage. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones called it pregnant with meaning, and I would agree wholeheartedly. This is quite a three verses, and let me read them. Mark's going to talk about how the unbelieving wife can win, how the believing wife can win the unbelieving wife to the husband. I'm getting all mixed up there, but that's direct heresy. And so let's start that over again. The believing wife can win the unbelieving husband to the Lord through a quiet and a gentle spirit. And I think here we have a similar sort of thing, not with believers, unbelievers, but what the believer has to show the world, believer and unbeliever, to show them Christ, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Four quick things. You are the light of the world. Dr. Jones made a big, big deal about that, and I think I've underestimated that. Secondly, let his light shine. We have a job. That's the imperative. The indicative is we are the light. This imperative is let that light shine. And then the results will be twofold. There others will see that light, and God the Father will be glorified. Every Christian has a light, is a light. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Same as the Lord Jesus said, right, in John? That in one of the I am statements, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And that only comes through Christ. Apart from him, we have no light, but when we are unified in him, we are the light of the world. And even though enlightenment has been a word used for decades now about a past time, this verse implies that the world is really dark. And in fact, enlightenment can often refer to human thought and philosophy over the that's more authoritative than Scripture. Endarkenment, I would say, probably more an enlightenment in that manner. Knowledge doesn't bring light. Jesus and his people do. And we have the only answer for darkness. Plato, Socrates, Oprah, none of them bring enlightenment. Ordinary, average Christians. Dr. Jones made a big deal of this. This is not super Christians that are bringing the light to the world. Any believer is the light, and we are to let that light shine. So Scripture always emphasizes who we are before what we do. We are something before we do something. Our lives should be the first thing that speaks who we are, and light will always expose darkness. The John 3:19 says that the unbeliever loves darkness rather than light, and so men need a new nature. They can love the light. Do you love the light or do you love the darkness? The very first thing that we would need to let our light shine is to know the one that is the light. So race to the cross. Plead with him if you need the Lord Jesus to give you that ability to let your light shine before men. Verse 15 says, nor do people bring a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. To hide this light, Dr. Jones says, is ridiculous. It's foolish. It's to render ourselves useless. Light has no other function than to give light. It has no value if it's hidden. So Lloyd-Jones says that there's nothing in God's universe so utterly worthless as a merely formal Christian who's really not a believer at all. One who has the name but not the qualities. Our Lord speaks of this group often in the Sermon on the Mount. The most pathetic, useless people in the world, he says. Perhaps we can sum it all up in this way. A true Christian cannot be hid. This is directly from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He cannot escape notice. A man truly living and functioning as a Christian will stand out. He will be like salt. He will be like a city set on a hill, a candle set upon a candlestick. But we can also add a further word. The true Christian does not even desire to hide his life. He sees how ridiculous it is to claim to be a Christian and yet deliberately to try to hide that fact. You truly realize what it means to be a Christian who realizes all the grace of God has meant to him and done for him, and understand that ultimately God has done this in order to what? To influence others. The man that truly knows Christ cannot conceal it. There is no communion with light and darkness. They are completely different. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who are in heaven. We are no longer dead, but we're alive. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. We're free to shine. We are free to shine so that others can see those good works and then bring glory to our Lord in heaven. And so this is never on our own. We can't do this on our own. We can only do this as we go to the Lord Jesus, as we meditate on his word day and night and observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then he will make our way prosperous. Then we'll have good success. Then I think we'll let our light shine before men. And so I think there's areas of darkness, if there are, that we're holding on to. Let's remember, they're not holding on to us. You might have just read Romans 6 last Sunday. Romans 6 says you are free from that. We can't rightly say if we're a believer that it's got a hold on us. We are free. He's freed us. So we're holding on to it if we have darkness, if we have sin that we're holding on to. You're free from it. So let's confess it. I'm tempted to run away from Jesus, to hide like Adam and Eve in the garden when I sin. Instead, run to Jesus. Confess that. Right now, let's go and confess that. Run to the Savior. Whether it's pride, self-righteousness, which we're all dealing with, I'm afraid. The love of money. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Covetousness. Maybe we're a bit discontent. That list that Mark gave us at the of 16 different things about work. Maybe our attitude's not right at work. Maybe it's at home with our wife or husband, as a parent, as a son, as a daughter, at school. All of those things. Let's do some spiritual inventory, and I'll give you a minute to go before him and to confess those things that may be hindering you from letting your light shine before men so that others may see your good deeds and bring glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Father, what an incredible privilege and responsibility you've given us to reflect the Lord Jesus, that others may see those good works, and then even better yet, that you would be glorified by our lives. Lord, that is the chief end that we're about, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Lord, I pray that people would see us enjoying our Savior for all that you've done, for who you are, the price that you paid by taking the wrath that we deserve. Father, we would confess that we have huddled up to darkness too often, that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And I thank you so much that you, as we confess these sins, are faithful and just to forgive these sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to free us from that darkness that used to hold us. And Lord, we are very grateful that now you have given us this great privilege to reflect Christ. So we pray that we would do that in a greater way, and I just thank you for this congregation who loves you deeply, who does reflect Christ. Easy to see your light shining through these people at North Avenue, and I'm just so grateful that you would use us as a church to be a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. And we pray that we would do that continually for your glory, that you would be honored in Jesus' name.